Hello, and welcome to this week's Revenue Rocket Shoot the Moon podcast. Today, we have a special guest. I'm going to introduce first my partner, Matt Lockhart, who's going to moderate today's call, and we're going to jump right in. Matt?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. As Mike mentioned, we have a very special guest, Brent Combest, the general manager of the One Commercial Partner Group at Microsoft. Brent's got an esteemed 15-year career at Microsoft. Brent, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
And now, Brent, you know, by way of introduction, tell us a little bit more about your history with Microsoft and what you're doing today.
Yeah, sure. So I actually started my journey straight out of college working in the channel. And then based on that experience, I was recruited in to join Microsoft and have really spent the entirety of my journey here at the company working with partners. And so, you know, I have that DNA kind of built intuitively within myself, and I've really never left it because there's just such a passion there. And, you know, I've had a chance to do not only roles here specific to the U.S., but also spent about half of my tenure traveling around the world, working with partners of every shape and size and focus area, and just learning a ton as we went. And, you know, today, my team, we manage about 400 of the top national and local services partners. So think the very best MSPs and SIs here in the U.S. and everybody that's not globally managed. It's the easiest way to think through that.
Oh, that's exciting. And, you know, I know that you and Mike, you guys go back a little ways, Mike. You've been working with Brent in various capacities, you know, for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great relationship. You know, I know that Brent and myself, as well as some of the work that we do here at Revenue Rocket, are very well aligned. And, you know, certainly we're going to get into some of that in this podcast.
Yeah, awesome. And me as a new guy to the team here, but, you know, having worked for 20 plus years in the Microsoft network with my former firm, Magenic, you know, who really was started in the Microsoft network when it was just getting going, to see what has happened with the Microsoft partner ecosystem over the last 20 years and even the 15 years, Brent, that you've been there has been really incredible, right? Imagine the growth in that ecosystem in the last 15 years.
It's been a fun ride. The evolution of the business model, especially as we transitioned into the cloud. I can't believe it's already been a decade since Steve Ballmer stood on stage and said, hey, we're all in with cloud. And going through that journey with partners has been amazing. You know, there was definitely some times where it was a struggle as we thought through how are we going to survive the cash flow chasm? How do we think through monetization in this new world? How do we bring in new staffing complements to service these types of offerings around managed services that we hadn't really done that much before? So it's been amazing, you know, and you're right. Mike and I have a long history, and I think we started our journey together when the topic of mergers and acquisitions was just white hot. And it still is, to be honest with you. Of that portfolio of 400 partners that we manage today, I see a transaction a week taking place inside of that. So it's just amazing.
Wow, that's great. And I think a great way to transition. There's been a lot of change. You know, obviously, with Microsoft in the last 5 years, you talk about the transition to a cloud first organization. You know, tell us, you know, what, you know, describe for our audience how you would convey the Microsoft go to market today.
Well, I think the first and foremost thing that I coach my team on that I think is so very true for our partners is you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, meaning what you had as a competitive advantage 18 or 24 months ago probably isn't now, and it certainly won't be as we go forward. You've got to be always in the mindset of a healthy state of paranoia and looking for ways to adapt and change and alter your business model as customer needs have changed. That element of flexibility, adaptability, and a willingness to learn is, you know, that's a core tenet of what Satya has landed with us as a culture at Microsoft, and it's made its way out to our partners. And I can honestly tell you the ones that have embraced it the most are the ones that are the most successful today. And, you know, there's an old stat, it's not that old, but there's a stat that speaks to 52% of the Fortune 500 from the year 2000 are no longer in business. you can kind of mirror that inside of our channel. The ones that didn't go through a purposeful transformation and really have a desire to elevate and alter their business to stay with market demands, they really kind of fall behind.
Wow, that's super interesting. Mike, I know that you've seen the same in Revenue Rocket's leadership as a growth strategy and M&A advisor, that talk about how you advise our customers a bit around change.
Yeah, you know, we're big proponents to embrace change. You need to be able to be nimble and flexible and certainly open to optimizing the change in your business model to stay ahead of, you know, market demand. And for the companies that have done that and have been effective at really implementing an on-purpose change management initiative, and, you know, we'll talk a little more here later in the program about our SVP program that certainly helps partners do that, are the ones that have, you know, performed exceptionally well, have grown their, you know, enterprise value at just, in some cases, just amazing levels. Those guys are where the opportunity is. We certainly see companies in decline, you know, that have not embraced that change and, you know, now oftentimes get rocked back on their heels and are struggling to figure it out and trying to play catch up. So, you know, I echo certainly Brent's comments about embracing the change and moving forward with the new, and challenging yourself to be better.
Yeah. And Brent, I know that, you know, your team and this group of the top 400 partners, there's a bit of a playbook and a playbook that has worked. And that playbook obviously has evolved, you know, to meet the cloud first expectations from Microsoft. Could you touch a little bit upon that playbook and what you see, you know, working with your best partners?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it all starts with the genesis or the kernel of strategy, and that is all about differentiation with the partners. And for some, that means really going deep around a technology or a functional expertise. We see, for example, partners really thriving around expertise on a deep workload like artificial intelligence or data, as an example. You have to be a little bit careful in the functional expertise as being your differentiator, especially with an understanding that over time that may become commoditized. For example, when I first started this cloud journey, you know, that was all about, well, let's just get customers there. Let's get them onto Office 365. And that quickly became commoditized, and the gross margins on the services around that shrunk. And to be honest with you, I kind of see the same today happening with simple things like Azure migrations, right? That's a giveaway or a loss leader for a lot of partners as they move into more sophisticated workloads. We'll get you into Azure. We'll get you data there because we're going to monetize the really cool stuff. And so you've got to have that healthy state of paranoia I talked about earlier. If you're doing something on the functional side, know that that may get commoditized as more partners come into it. And so the other area of specialization we see a lot is around vertical expertise. And to me, this is where the real opportunity is, and why if I were to go back outside of Microsoft and get back out in the channel, this would be the strategy I would deploy inside of my own company. Because it does a couple of things for you. One, when you set yourself apart based on tribal knowledge, vertical knowledge, it allows you to do things like connect with key influencers that can carry your brand on your behalf. It allows you to drive immense amounts of efficiency into everything you do, whether it's marketing, sales, or even delivery itself. And then repeatability also creates the opportunity to build packaged IP. And I don't mean like, here's a workflow for how we deliver something. I mean real code-based IP. And the more that you can drive that into the business, the more you can start to scale it out. And we're even seeing some partners that are getting really sharp around this, so much so that they're building up a large base of customers using the same IP that they built, and now they're starting to monetize the data that comes out of that to sell it back either as an anonymized service so that it's benchmarking for customers to see where they stand against their peers, or they're gaining optics into where their customers have shortcomings into what they do, and now they're going out and starting to consult with them on real business model transformation and improvement. So that vertical piece is so big. But Matt, the thing I'd say underneath that, that's really also when you want to click down in from the why into the how, is when we think about the elements of how companies are creating win formulas, right? What's the consistent journey that you take a customer down from first interaction with them to full-scale consumption? And that secret is kind of where some of our top partners are at today. They're saying, okay, when we first engage with you, we're going to do a large scale, one to few kind of events where we're going to go through a lot of the why, the benefits of making this journey with us or going on this journey with us. Then we're going to go into a situation where we build the business case, a proof of concept, first stage of consumption, and so on down the line. And that consistency in the execution model is creating scale for partners. I got one partner in the state and local government space. They may have, 50 or 60 employees. Because of the repeatability there, they're doing over 100 customer ads per quarter, right? So you think about how that starts to come in, and we're really hungry for that, because for us, our ambition is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. When you read between the lines on that, that means we want to have 80-90+% market share. And the only way we're going to do that with our channel is to create scale-based methodologies for how we go and execute.
Yeah. And I can't, having experienced it, Brent, I can't compliment you and your team enough on enabling that formula and having that vision that if your partners are successful, then you're only going to be more successful. Well, there's a bit to unpack there in what you talked about. And Mike, you built this method that you talked about, SVP, and SVP stands for specialization, verticalization, productization. And you built this method over 10 years ago. And so you've seen a lot of what Brent just talked about. Talk a little bit about what you've seen for specialization. And as Brent talked about, that you can't rest on your laurels.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen this model, be successfully implemented hundreds of times, with our clients in the Microsoft channel. It's been a fascinating journey, and it's evolved over time. But as you think about specialization, I think that's where a lot of the you have to really be open to change. You have to be open to thinking about how do we align our specialty around sort of our tech focus, and where does that meet, sort of that functional focus, the way we see it. Verticalization really from our perspective is much more about, the market and micro markets, to focus on. And in the end, a lot of people ask us, well, verticalization is really hard because, hey, what if somebody calls us and says they want to do something they're not in the vertical? Well, certainly people will do that work. Our partners will do that work. Our clients will do that work in some cases. But I think what they find is that if they're well aligned to the vertical, as Brent talks about, the system is so efficient that they just go find everyone they can in that vertical and service the heck out of them. And there's so much demand and opportunity within that vertical that there really isn't the time and resources and if you will, distraction to do work outside of that market. And frankly, the value add they bring to that vertical through the IP that they develop, which is where we talk about productization, is super valuable. And then they can monetize that, in a services plus product, product plus services kind of model to that market. And it's been fascinating to see what happens to the top line growth rate, and certainly, and much more importantly, the bottom line profit percentage of the companies that align to the SVP model or to this model over the time. We've seen companies wildly transform and become, certainly top quartile performers, if not, top 5, 6, 7% performers in both of those areas consistently year after year. And I think if you're building value into your partner business, you're growing that business, but you also want to do it in a way where you really have true enterprise value, which gives you choices later as to, how you might acquire other companies and ultimately how you might exit the business. It's part of why we're seeing the level of consolidation we are in the business right now.
Yeah, interesting. Now, Brent, I know that when we talk about verticalization, it's easier said than done. Right. Yeah. Many have tried. Many have failed. Microsoft has had its own sort of evolution and journey around verticalization. And I know that you guys are doing great right now. But it is super important to Microsoft's ongoing go to market, today. Talk a little bit about that. And then, what you've seen with partners who are doing verticalization better than others.
Yeah, for sure. And, it is paramount to Microsoft. I would say that the announcements we've made recently related to the full industry-tied solutions is as impactful, as meaningful, and as substantial as Steve Ballmer standing on stage and saying we're all in on cloud. I take those announcements, those launches that have happened over the last 6 to 12 months to be as aligned to say we're all in on industry. So much so that when you look at our field sales organizations, we've already started to pivot them. When I look at our enterprise side, we've reoriented our teams around that. Even in the corporate side, the middle band of that pyramid, we have our folks there that have what's called a major and a minor. Now, they may have accounts that span multiple industries, but at the end of the day, they're all required to have one that they are deep subject matter experts in, and another one that they have at least enough cursory knowledge where they can carry a conversation and bring in experts behind that. So the dialogue is changing. The BDMs are in control of the budget now. And if you really want to drive depth in the dollars that you get a customer to spend with you in terms of wallet share, you got to be able to go across their business. And the only way to really do that is to understand their business. And so that industry angle or that vertical angle is just is so important. Now, when I take partners down this journey, there's a lot of times we go through an exercise together, and I kind of think of it as a Venn diagram. The first thing I like to do is I say, you know, let's look at your client roster. And so often when we do that, I'll see that anywhere from 25 to 35% is within the same four-digit SIC code. It's kind of an accidental vertical that they have. Sometimes that's just based on the geography that they're in. Sometimes it's based on referrals they have. It just kind of organically happens. And then from there, we interview the sales teams. We interview the delivery teams. And the thesis there is we talk to them about what customer accounts were the easiest for you to acquire and deliver, which ones did you enjoy more? And so often there's an overlap, right, between those two universes where you see enjoyment and success where they've done a lot of work, right? That repeatability breeds competency, and that breeds longer-term kind of success. And then the third Venn diagram that we kind of bring or circle that Venn diagram that we have with them is we say, okay, go get all the project books or the delivery statement of work that you had for those customers, and let's start to look for things that you find yourself doing over and over again. And my big thing is never invest human capital to do the same thing twice if you can avoid it. So what we often find is IP that can be built, everything from something as simple as a template that we layer over on something like CRM, maybe it's a workflow or a report, or something more substantial, you know, that's full on kind of a micro ISV type of a solution that can be built and then resold. But the last thing I'll say, Matt, is it's a journey. I don't expect me to get, you know, for a partner to get on the phone with me today and tomorrow be exclusively focused on chemical manufacturing. What I want for them to do is slowly build that and build that one out over time. And once they start their second one too, I'm looking for inverse correlation between those two verticals so that if one goes down, the other one doesn't go with it. For example, I'm not doing home builders and mortgage companies. I want two that are on opposite ends of the market so that they can insulate themselves from risk around that.
Wow. You talk about a formula. You guys have thought about this once or twice. And you know, sort of trending towards productization. And, you know, we think about it a lot in terms of how do you make it easier for your clients to buy your value, right? And I know that, you know, you guys, Brent, are investing a lot in the marketplace, you know, which is all about this idea of be seen for your expertise, for your superpower, and make it easy for the market to identify you. Talk to us a little bit about the gains that you're making through the marketplace.
Yeah, it's all about exposure there, and we're slowly and steadily making enhancements to the platform and what it's capable of doing. And really, you've got the Azure Marketplace, which is the tool set for your developers and your technical side to be able to go in and get the assets they need to build things, right? The other side of that equation is the AppSource. This is more the finished products targeted at the BDMs. And really, as a partner, you've got to think about, well, what kind of solution offerings do I have? Is it a tool set to enable others to build, or is it something that's more of a finished product? But at the end of the day, the vision is Microsoft's website is one of those traffics in the world. And we're a company that, you know, we derive 95% of our revenue from a channel, and there's about 17 million people that are out there in the channel today. And if we do this right and we build this giant supermart of technology the right way, we're going to expose our partners to such a massive amount of buying opportunity from the customers out there that we simply can't sit on the sidelines and not be fully invested in that. And so many of our partners are now inside of those marketplaces today. And I'd say if you're not there already, you probably ought to jump on that. And as time goes along, we'll continue to invest more and more in the marketing from our side that drives eyeballs and activities, our activity into those two marketplaces. And it'll be something that partners really get to capitalize on. It's building rapidly.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, Mike, one of the things that I know that we advocate a lot is how to start with productization and the idea of a wedge play. Right. And as a means to starting that journey towards building repeatability, as well as making it easier for your customers to buy from you. Talk to us a little bit about how that works in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a wedge and a, what we call a full life cycle of services all the way to productization is critically important. And I know that, Brent, you alluded to some of this earlier in the podcast about, you know, how partners are sort of, you know, mapping the buyer journey with the client. And in our, you know, in our vernacular, life cycle of services is how that's done, right? How ultimately you start with a very defined engagement. Oftentimes it's a scoping engagement as a wedge that's a branded offering, one that's easy to buy, that typically has a fixed price. And it's much easier to do that within the domain of a very tight specialization and verticalization approach. And ultimately that leads to follow-on services as you map to that buyer journey and ultimately all the way to a productized solution generally. Because as you know, if you're focused on a set of customers that are very similar in their needs and sort of their industry and all that stuff, it's very much like a assembly line where you can ultimately get efficiency. And the key there is the ability to kind of optimize that buyer journey and make it easy and frictionless for the client to buy. And we've seen companies do that and really transform their close rates and ultimately transform the relationships that they have with their customers. And ultimately, many of them sell those products, that IP that they built. That IP oftentimes starts with a set of processes. It doesn't have to necessarily be code in the beginning. So it makes it easier for a services company to, you know, follow a very defined process that is their intellectual property and ultimately moves towards, you know, adding technology around that process and wrapping it so it does become a product. And in the end, you know, a very valuable component of their overall value exchange with that client.
Yeah. And, you know, Brent, we know that the marketplace is continuing to grow. And it's because of this idea with productization and, you know, the idea that you can put a price and a value and package that around IP, whether that IP has hard code or not, right? And it's really exciting for me to have lived this journey and been a customer of both Microsoft as well as Revenue Rocket. And now to be on the inside and seeing it happen day in and day out with customers, but then also to listen to Brent talk about it at a national, if not global scale. And so Brent, I know that you work with the top 400, but you'd love to see all partners follow this mentality, to help grow their business.
I would. And I think this is a formula for success. And I think that the only thing that I would add to, you know, that formula that we haven't covered today is, you know, how we think about long-term adding capacity to our channel. And this is something that I see a lot of our partners struggle with. But, you know, the reality is once you build this model around a specialization that Mike was going through there in such great detail, it also opens up the door for you to hire people that potentially you didn't think of in the past. You know, that's a thematic that we see a lot now is some of the people that are coming into these partner ecosystems, these partner companies are from the verticals or industries that they represent. I see former school teachers, people that used to sell cars, people that came from the healthcare space, recovering attorneys that are now in these offices, in these partner companies now. And we love that ourselves because, you know, I mentioned before, you know, our mission and the fact that there's 17 million people in our channel. Well, if you do the math on that, you know, if all the Microsoft employees were to go out and try to live our mission to empower every person, every organization, that would mean that each one of us individually would have to interact with 46,000 people. But when you bring in that channel of 17 million, that number goes down to about 400 or so. And the more that we bring new people into the channel that have the experience and the knowledge of these verticals, not only does it help your business go faster, but it increases our capacity. And that's where, Matt, not just the 400 partners that I manage, I want for everybody to do that. And I think we're going to need that kind of capacity to deliver our ambition.
Yeah, well, that's it's exciting. I think a bright future ahead for all of us in this space. And, you know, the last thing, Brent, and just touch on this, I think it's sort of obvious to us a little bit, but may not be for everybody, is how important in following this formula, specialization, verticalization, productization, is to enabling yourself to co-sell with Microsoft. Because that is obviously something that is more and more important to you know, winning with Microsoft.
Yeah, it is. It's pivotal. And if you think about the two sides of what both sides need, you know, the partner, you know, we're looking for there from them is somebody that can be aligned to our strategy, our approach. And that approach is now we want to go as deep as we can technology-wise. You think about the offerings that Microsoft has across our three clouds and beyond with Surface and other elements like that. The wallet share we're after with customers and the desire to help them digitally transform is massive, right? The only way, though, that we're going to get there is by being able to show our relevance to these customers based on our industry skill or industry knowledge. And so to co-sell with Microsoft is to be able to speak that language, to be able to show the value of your offering, your solution into those industries and stay relevant there. So it's a just a critical component of how we're going to co-sell together. And, you know, when I think about probably the last 6 to 9 months of co-sell requests that I get from the field, it's not, hey, bring somebody in that understands, you know, security and Arc. It's somebody in Azure Arc. It's bring in somebody that understands how to secure this compliance challenge within a financial services firm. Wow. Okay. Got it. Now I need to go out and find partners that have those types of skills because that's what we're after. And we're seeing competitors that are there as well, right? With that kind of industry lens and industry focus. So if we want to win, we've got to be focused.
That's awesome. Hey, Brent, you know, we can't thank you enough for jumping on the Shoot the Moon podcast with us here today. You know, I think simplifying it, if you will, a little bit is, find your superpower and continue to build upon your superpower. Know your customers better than anybody else and make it easy for your customers to buy from you because you're building repeatability and you're increasing the value that you're playing with those customers. Brent, it has been just awesome to have you on the podcast today. We're super excited for everything that you've done in building the network up and know that that there's a lot of work to be done, but you know, our partners are in good hands with you and your team.
Well, likewise, thank you both very much for having me. I think the world of Revenue Rocket, you guys provide just a ton of value into our ecosystem today, and I'm excited to see where we're going to go together down the road.
Thanks, Brent. And with that, we are going to tie a ribbon on it for this week's Shoot the Moon podcast from Revenue Rocket. As you all know, hopefully, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, Revenue Rocket is the premier strategic growth advisor and M&A brokerage for the partner ecosystem. And we continue to live our mission to help as many of you as possible reach your goals and ultimately, you know, do everything that you have dreamt about with your Microsoft partner business. With that, take care, and we'll be talking to you next week.